Sabbath. Jesus heals a woman on the Sabbath day, does the work of healing on the Sabbath. He sets her free from her infirmity. As we think about Sabbath, as this scripture passage prompts us to think about Sabbath, a couple of other scripture passages for context. The first coming from the early chapters of Genesis, the great myth of creation. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished and all their multitude, and on the seventh day God finished the work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all the work that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and hallowed it, because on it God rested from all the work that he had done in creation. The Hebrew word for rest or rested is Shabbat. So rest is a part of God's creation, part of God's goodness in the created order. Rest is a part of that creation. Another passage from Exodus, one of the two places where the Ten Commandments are listed in the Old Testament. This is from Exodus, the introduction to the Ten Commandments, the Torah, the giving of the law. The introduction is this: I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. And then what we usually list as the fourth commandment: remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. For 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. You shall not do any work, you, your son or your daughter, your male or female slave, your livestock, or the alien resident in your town. Shall do no work. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, but rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and consecrated it. The command to keep the Sabbath holy. The command that God gave to the ancient Israelites to honor that day of rest. As that command is written in Exodus, the way the people are to keep the Sabbath holy is to do no work. That's how you keep the Sabbath holy. That's how you keep it a day of rest. You do no work. Interpreting what that actually means has always been a matter of debate. It may seem straightforward, but it's not. Since ancient times, the Israelites and on up to the present day have debated exactly what that means, to do no work. And in the midst of that debate, in the midst of that ongoing debate, Jesus heals a woman on the Sabbath. The synagogue leaders clearly saw that as work, as inappropriate work. There are some today, certainly, who gleefully interpret this gospel passage as Jesus acting to totally dismiss the old practices, to put aside the historic covenant, to put aside the Ten Commandments. Or some folks, taking it even further, see in this action of Jesus, Jesus' own personal warrant to throw out all institutionally imposed rules. They herald Jesus as the rule breaker. Jesus certainly does, throughout his ministry, challenge many of the ingrained, institutionalized practices of his day, but that is never his primary purpose. He challenges those practices that have become unmoored, that have lost their connection to the holiness, to the foundation that was originally theirs. His point is not throwing out the rules. His point is restoring their purpose. And that's exactly what he's doing in this morning's gospel. In this passage, Jesus does not abolish or diminish the Sabbath commandment, the Sabbath teaching in any way. In fact, he seeks to practice Sabbath faithfully. To practice Sabbath faithfully. Sabbath rest is all about freedom, liberation. That was the original purpose of the Sabbath commandment. And that provision of freedom, that opening up, that liberating people from whatever it is that binds or limits them, that is how Jesus sees his primary mission, particularly as it is articulated in Luke's gospel. Earlier on in Luke, back in the fourth chapter, Jesus quotes Isaiah to describe his mission. As it turns out, in the synagogue on the Sabbath, Jesus says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Jesus' mission throughout his ministry is to set people free. And when he acts on the Sabbath, he is restoring that purpose to the Sabbath as well. The Sabbath is not a bunch of rules that restrict activity or that impose control on people's lives. The Sabbath is all about offering freedom. Jesus' words to the woman when she comes to him, when he calls her to him, Jesus' first words are, "Woman, you are set free." The Lutheran preacher and commentator David Lowes writes about the Sabbath. "Sabbath is a day for rest and renewal. And the rather negative view we take towards the various restrictions associated with the Sabbath would have been very foreign to the Israelites. Keep in mind that the law, the Ten Commandments, the covenant, the Torah, keep in mind that the law, including laws about the Sabbath, were given to the Israelites after their exodus from Egypt. You remember Egypt," Lowes writes, "where the Israelites were slaves and worked whenever their masters commanded them, likely never giving a day off. And so when they receive a command to rest, to actually set aside one day of the week to rest their bodies and their livestock and retreat for a time of renewal, trust me, they heard this only as good news. The command to take a day of rest is good news. Sabbath is a time and a space in our lives to be free. And we need that now more than ever. That time and space in which our lives, our hearts, our souls can be set free. the odd irony, the very odd irony, irony of human nature, is that we seem to need rules or discipline in order to find freedom. We seem to need rules or discipline in order to find freedom, a command from God. We just don't do it on our own, do we? We just don't do it, even though we need it. Even though that time and space of Sabbath provides joy and peace. Without discipline, we just don't do it. What would that look like in our own lives to really claim some Sabbath time? It doesn't have to be Sunday. It doesn't even have to be a whole day, but a 20-minute nap doesn't count. It takes very deliberate discipline. It takes saying no to some things. It takes choosing not to do some things, even perhaps some things that we are asked to do. Sabbath means living differently for a space of time than we live all the rest of our lives, setting aside some portion of time to live differently, to take time off from the many tasks that are imposed upon us all, to take time off from worry and anxiety. That's hard, but there are steps that we can do to help. To take time off from whatever it is that controls or enslaves each one of us. To take time to seek in our lives the healing, soaring, liberating spirit of Jesus. Sabbath. Sabbath is a discipline. Discipline to live some portion of time in our lives differently, free from the many things that inhibit and enslave us. You may know that particularly in the more conservative traditions within Judaism, keeping Sabbath is taken very seriously. I don't know all of the rules, I don't know very much about it, and I think I have often seen the multitude of rules that they keep as arcane and almost sort of trivial. Rules about turning on and off lights and using electricity and driving. Lots of rules about what can or cannot be done on the Sabbath. I don't know or understand all of those rules, but as I reflected on them this week, what those rules do is that they order their lives differently on the Sabbath. They set aside the Sabbath as a time that is different, a time with openness and space, but also a time that is different from their daily lives. I was thinking about this in particular. This past week, I spent a couple of nights again up at our cabin in the Bighorns towards the end of this week. And I was thinking about Sabbath. Spending time at the cabin forces me to live my life differently than I live it most of the rest of the time. There's no cell phone reception. There's no internet. Ultimately, there's nothing to do. And that's what makes it Sabbath. It's beautiful. It's beautiful being up in the mountains. It's beautiful scenery among the aspen. And that's nice. And that is restorative. But what makes it Sabbath is there's nothing to do. When was the last time you had a real span of time with nothing to do. It takes a little getting used to, but it's wonderful. It's liberating. It's renewing. It's harder at home. It is harder at home. It's harder to keep all of those things at bay at home. But there are things we can do if we choose to keep Sabbath. Things like taking some time away from the internet. Isn't that the source of worry and anxiety for most of us? Taking time away from tasks that are burdens. Even if we cannot give them up, take time away. Things that may sound trivial. For years, I have kept a pretty good discipline on my day off of not doing housework or laundry. Needs to be done. There isn't always a lot of time to do it on other days, but you can squeeze it in on the other days to leave that other space open. It takes some practice keeping Sabbath, and it takes some time to get used to it. Don't just try for a couple of hours and say, oh, that was awkward, I'm not going to do that again. You have to keep at it for a while. It's worth it. It's worth it because in that space, in that time, there is freedom. There is peace. There is joy in that space. And that is what God desires for all of us. God desires us to know that freedom and peace that well up out of the reservoir of God's presence with us. God desires all of us to know that. But we have to claim it. We have to make space for Sabbath in our lives. What will it take for you to give it a try?